You got quiet without me saying anything. Hey, that's cool. Good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. Good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. Beautiful, beautiful day. The Lord knocked another one out of the park. Absolutely gorgeous out there today. And you chose to come today. So you are the few, the proud, the Marines for being here today, because others, they're probably out enjoying the sun and doing stuff like that. Look around you, see who's not here, and gossip about them, okay? Do that. Let them know you miss them today. We're glad that you're here today. Let me just say welcome to you and those who are tuning in today on the internet. We are glad to have you doing so. And let me just give you a couple of quick announcements. One, let me just say again, thank all of you who give on a regular basis. We'll encourage you to continue to do that. Thank you for doing that. So, it's one of those things that we do as an act of worship, but it's one of those things that we can so easily forget sometimes. So thank you for doing that. We encourage you to continue to do so. And let me mention, if you are here for the first time, a guest today, or maybe you're here on a regular basis, but maybe some information has changed for you, right in front of you in one of those pew places, you'll see a Connect card. And you just take out that Connect card, and if you are a guest in particular, we'd like you to fill that out, give us as much information as you are comfortable with, and then just take it to the back today. I'll be back there, and we'd like to give you a gift for being here. We got a mug that we'd love to give you just for being our guest today. Hope that you'll do that. If you are a regular here or a guest, and you have a prayer need or prayer request that you would like to put on here, you can put that on there as well. If you have any credit card or any bank account information that you'd like to put on here so I can extract from your account things that are needed in the Smiley European Mission / Vacation Fund. And I was asking Forrest this morning and Darlene, so far there is just a goose egg in there. So let's get with it, people, okay? Here's an opportunity to do that. I'm just kidding. Glad that you're here today. One other thing, we are getting ready to kick off in not too terribly long period of time some home Bible study, small groups, good news community groups. And if you have not signed up, you can do that at the back today. You can sign online at the church app, the center there. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, I don't have time for that, or I don't know if I want to do that. I'm not sure I need that. Well, now listen, I get you. I hear you. I feel you. I smell you. But the thing is, you need it. Trust me. You do. You need to get in close quarters with other Christians so that you not only study the Word of God, but you talk about putting that same Word of God into action. And we talk about doing some things together as Christians, not only for fellowship, but also for service here in this community, and also to share the gospel in this community. So we encourage you to be a part of those groups. It'll be a good time of fellowship, but also a good time of instruction. So I hope that you have not signed up. We're going to encourage you to do that. And as I said a few weeks ago, for those of you who are still lingering, if you'll sign up, Pastor Forrest will give you $100 straight out of his own account, not from the church. It won't be from a budget, or just straight from... It's so nice of you, Forrest, to do this. Anyways, so feel free to sign up, and if you have questions about the money, just see Forrest, okay? Would you bow with me, and let's talk to the Lord as we continue to worship this morning. Our Father, we are privileged to meet here today freely, to meet and worship you. Lord, we know that we can worship you anywhere, anytime, 24/7. But Lord, your word instructs us to come together corporately, to worship you, to hear from you, to speak to you, to enjoy your presence in the presence of your people. Lord, today we come as people who are broken. We don't have it all together. There is sin in our lives. Sometimes it's open, it's overt. Sometimes it's behind the scenes, an unknown. Lord, we ask you to invade our lives this morning. Lord, help us to turn from the things that keep us from turning to you. Speak into our lives today through the truth of your inerrant word. Lord, challenge us afresh. Change us where the change needs to be made. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you bring us in life. Or those times when we're on top of the mountain, but sometimes even when we're under it, we have joy because we know that you are in control. We ask you this morning, Lord, to speak into our lives afresh. Help us to worship you well. Lord, as we sing your praises, as we pray to you, as we take in your truth, help us to absorb it into the spiritual lungs of our lives and breathe it out as we leave this place today. We thank you that we are able also to worship in the greatest nation on the planet. Lord, may your blessing, your leading toward salvation be for those who run this nation. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those who on the executive level, at a state level, local level, who have been empowered to be officials, Lord, to make decisions on behalf of us. We pray the decisions they will make will be in keeping with your will. We pray your blessing upon this nation and upon those who protect it. And Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and worship you once again. We praise you because Jesus Christ is risen. And it is in his name that we pray this morning. And all of God's people said together, amen.
Thank you, Bruce. Good morning, Redeemer. Raise your hand if you are a sinner that sinned this week. Raise your hand if you are thankful for the blood of the Lamb who washes away all those sins. Please stand and let's begin worship together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you only pull a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, one word is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, one word is power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for cleansing the Calvary side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderworking power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonderworking power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? This power in the blood, power in the blood.
Okay, so this is a time, we call it officially called the meet and greet. And so this is an opportunity for you to talk to the people around you, welcome them to being here. And here's the question for this week, or the thing I want you to answer. Let the person know your name and welcome them, say they're glad that you're here. And what I want you to do today is to tell them the name of the person who led you to Christ. So if I was going to say hello, I'd be, hi, hello, I'm Pastor Forrest, welcome to church. My dad led me to Christ. That's kind of what you're doing. Okay, so ready? Go.
All right, everyone. Let's make our way back to our places and please remain standing as we focus on the scriptures. Thank you.
I've always enjoyed beautifully illustrated children's books. And I remember one in particular that had beautiful, lovely depictions of all the verses of Psalm 148. I'm reading from the New International Version of that song, which admonishes all creation to praise the holy and glorious Creator. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created. He set them in a place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, darling. Let's continue worship together.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection shed, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us lay before the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder.
Great is our God.
was blind, but now I see.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for being a God that wants a relationship with us. Thank you that you don't just tell us what to do and how to do it, but you literally are here helping us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in this place and that we would be receptive to you and that we would be pliable and we would be open to change and we would surrender any blockades and things that we've been holding in our hearts. We'd lay them down at your feet, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we would know you better today and that today, going forward, we could be more like you. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've got a real treat for you this morning. Rector David Larley is going to bring the message to us this morning. And I feel like a new parent. Like I have my baby that I just got. And I'm just like, I'm giving it over to him. And I'm just like, be careful. And I want it back when you're done. Come on up, David.
Thank you, Forrest. Thank you so much. What a treat to be here and to serve you as we look at the scriptures together. It's just on behalf of St. Bart's Anglican Church, we're just so thankful for you as a community for taking us in. We had been worshiping at another church down the road and in the afternoon, and it was my birthday, and I was at, my wife had sent me on this experience to go and have a proper shave from a barber shop, and halfway through the shave, I got a call from Michael Delario, who's married to Catherine Delario, who's related to the Clarks and to Beth, and the word was that they just heard that there might be an opportunity to come to Redeemer Bible Church to worship in the morning. And so I said, Lord, you know, as you pray, do I finish what I'm doing? Do I call now? And immediately the verse from Romans came to mind, today is the day of salvation. So I said to the barber, excuse me, I know you're half done. I have a call to make. And that's when I spoke to Kent, and that's when everything started happening. And thanks to you, we've just been, the Lord has really blessed us. So thank you. Our passage this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, and it'll be familiar to all of you. It's Matthew 28, verses 16 to the end. And let me read this as we look to see what the Lord might be saying to us from the Scriptures. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 18. I'm reading also from the NIV. And beginning of the 16th verse. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Incredible passage. You're a church that has sent out probably countless people into the mission field. You're a church that really engages in mission here locally. So, you know, I'm aware that I'm on familiar territory. The verse, however, that always leaps up at me is really the one that is the capstone to this whole passage, which is the promise of Jesus that he's with us always. Amen. It's what makes everything else possible. I was in my first year of my theological education, and I was taken on a short-term mission trip. And I trained in England for the ministry, and a story for another time. But I had nowhere to live over the Easter break, so I thought I'll sign up for a mission trip. I'll be fed. I'll have somewhere to stay. It'll be great. And I found myself in a park next to a man in his 80s who was drinking. And I just turned to him and I said, "How are you?" You know, and he said something, offered me a drink, which I declined. And we got to talking, and he began to tell me that he'd been a sniper in the armed forces, and that he'd served in the Falkland Wars, you know, and the reason he drank was to, because he couldn't live with the fact that he'd taken life. And I said, I listened to him, and I said, if there is a God who is love, and he could take all of that away, would you like to meet him? And he said, there is no God. And I said, I appreciate how you might see that, say that, but if there was, would you like to meet him? And he said, I think I would. Would he help me sleep at night? I said, yes. He refers to himself as the Prince of Peace. And so we had a chat, and he told me everything that he'd done. And I said, well, if you turn and hand it over to Jesus, he will take it. And he will lift this burden off your shoulders. And so, amazingly, he did. And he then fell asleep, which was either the peace of the Lord or the alcohol. I can't quite remember. But to me, it was an incredible thing. I would have said to myself beforehand, I've said to many, and I've asked often students in theological colleges, Bible colleges, how would you lead a sniper to faith? And they come up with the most incredible sermon plans. And I say, all you need to know in that moment is that he's with you. His is the authority. His is the gospel that he's given to us. But what we need in those moments is to know that he's with us. So let me turn, as way of introduction, let me just turn to our passage. Turn with me, verse 16. We see here that it all begins on a mountain. And you know from your study of Matthew that Matthew loves mountains. Now, mountains, we're not talking the Rockies, because as you've been to the Holy Land, you know that the mountains there are slightly different. But everything seems to happen on a mountain. The temptation of Jesus happens around a mountain. The Sermon on the Mount happens on a mountain. The Transfiguration happens on a mountain. What's more, Moses and Elijah during the Transfiguration meet the living God on a mountain. And they now Jesus invites the disciples to meet him so they can be commissioned. And so the first surprise here is that some of the disciples, look down with me at verse 17, when they saw him, here's the first surprise, is that they worshipped him, but some doubted. In other translations, they flip it. When they saw him, some doubted, others worshipped him. And it's incredible, isn't it, that there's that permission to have questions. They'd never seen anyone rise from the dead. And sometimes the doubt isn't so much an intellectual thing, but it's a matter of the heart. And when you've been bereaved, the heart, doesn't matter how good your theology is, it helps, but the heart feels what the heart wants. And it takes the presence of God to help reconcile those two things. And so some doubt. But the majority of them worship Jesus, and they come to him reverently. And then Jesus opens up, then Jesus came to them and said, and isn't that incredible? Some doubt, some worship. He doesn't just come to those who worship, but he also comes near to those who doubt. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Why does he open with that? Well, A, it's true. But the second, he's reminding them of that moment in Matthew 10. Remember, at the end of Matthew 9, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray not for the harvest, but pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers out into the field. And then the disciples who are with Jesus at the time become the answer to the prayer. He sends them out, giving them authority. Matthew 10 says, I don't want to misquote you because I'll never hear the end of it from St. Bart's. How did you not quote the scriptures appropriately at a Bible church? You know, it's kind of a... He called his 12 disciples, this is Matthew 10, he called his 12 disciples to him, gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then verse 2, these are the names of the 12, and it goes on. And so he reminds them. These are familiar words. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And we can't help but remember that he was tempted, wasn't he, Jesus, to receive authority without going to the cross. The devil offered Jesus the prestige of authority, but without the price that he has now paid. And so Jesus' authority as the risen one is the authority of the one who defeated tyranny itself. His is the authority under which life begins to flourish. Jesus is already ruling the world. Even now, he's ruling the world. Jesus is on his throne, and he's working out his purposes in the world, in his church, and through the church. How many churches are there in Dallas? There's only one. Jesus makes it clear there's only one church. And what I tell my congregation is that in order for us to thrive, we need Redeemer Bible Church to thrive. We're different. You could tell by the way I'm dressed. We're different. You could tell by the banners, the wreaths. We're different. And you know, as I often say to my five-year-old son, sharing is caring. And he says, yes, but it's so hard. And that's the point. There is one church in Dallas. God has one plan to redeem all of the earth and all of creation. And what I say to our people is in order for us to thrive, we need Redeemer to thrive. We're doing different things in different ways. And that's the beauty of the one church of Jesus Christ, is that our differences make us stronger. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And he is already ruling the world. And this is one of the most important results of the resurrection. Now, I don't know what happens to you when you go to a wedding or you're invited to a dinner. I always get stuck on the difficult table. You know, where do we put the priest? Well, let's put him with, you know, the difficult people. Maybe he can sort them out. So recently this summer I was at a wedding and I was at the difficult table. My wife and children were at the fun table, but they put me there to try to make things more better, as they said. And I sat next to this very strong atheist, and he gave me all his reasons, you know, why God didn't exist. And I said, yeah. He says, you know, his big issue is that how can your God rule this earth when it isn't as it should be? I said, well, I don't think he's finished. He says, well, what do you mean? How could a God make me feel so ashamed? I said, I don't discount that you feel shame, but I don't think God would make you feel shame. He says, how could you say that? I said, well, I know him. And I'm actually on a first-name basis with him. We talk every day, and he writes to me, and I read his word. And as I read his word, he tells me what, it, you know, da, da, da. And we go back and forth. And I'm trying to bait him, right, you know, because I'm just trying to. And the more he drinks, the easier the conversation goes. And, you know, I'm just drinking the sparkling water so I can keep my head on straight. And finally he says to me, I just don't understand why my father, who was a devout, claimed to be a devout Christian, beat my wife, by my mother. How can someone do that in the name of God? And I said, you know what? I don't know either. That's not my God. And I would not follow that God either. And the world isn't as it intends to be. Not yet. But Jesus has a plan. He's working it out. And that's what he means here in verse 18 and 19. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. The claim is not that the world is already completely as Jesus intends it to be. The claim is that he's working to take it from where it was under the rule of sin and death and to bring it out from under corruption and greed and deception and every kind of wickedness and to bring it under the rule of his love. The challenge is, it appears that he's doing it very slowly. He goes, the work of God seems to go to a different timetable than I would have, maybe you have, but it is very gradually, the world is coming under the rule of Jesus' life-giving love. And how is he doing this? Through his followers. But imagine what it's like to sit at a table with 12 people you invested 3 years in, and you know that one of them is going to betray you. And he's generous, and he's loving towards Judas. He knows what Judas is going to do, and he doesn't punish him in advance. Because that's what Jesus is like. He forgives and he loves. Now, as you look at me, we are an Anglican expression of the church, not Episcopal. Long story there I won't bore you with, because sometimes when I start to explain the differences, the peace of God is so arresting, people fall asleep, right? So we'll try to keep you awake. But if you take my denomination, and when you see someone wearing what I wear, it's natural to think of a church that has gotten things so, so wrong. And the church has, at times, gone wrong and has made lots of mistakes. It has let the Lord down, and many people have despaired and left the church and lost hope. The Episcopal Church is the fastest shrinking denomination on the face of the earth. But the New Testament casts a vision that those who believe in Jesus, who are witnesses to the resurrection, are given responsibility to go and make real in the world the authority which he already has. The church is called to keep working out Jesus' plan and to bring our world under the rule of his life-giving hope. How are we to do it? We're to do it doing three things: to disciple, to baptize, and to teach. Now, discipleship. You know, a friend of mine's a fisherman. He says he loves calling me father, and I try to tell him I don't want that kind of responsibility. But he says it's easier to catch fish than to clean them. And he's absolutely right. But both are necessary. Both are necessary. Discipleship, as you know, is the act of calling men and women and children to follow him. My grandmother was the one who led me to Christ. I can't remember now, it was 8 or 10 or somewhere around there. She was married to a minister. And she would come and visit us. She'd take the bus to where we were in Atlantic Canada, and she'd come and visit, and she'd always ask me to take her to church, and she always had sweets, so I would always say yes. And then, you know, she would use it as a way to get me to learn more and to hear. And then so discipleship, so important. It's about learning to study the Word, learning to pray, learning to be in community. And then baptism. What I love about your church is the baptistry. Because baptism is always meant to be the public, physical, and visible way in which someone is marked out. Texans, as you're all Texans. Baptism is really the branding with the holy name of the living God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then to teach. Following Jesus generates a lifestyle that is quite different from the world. From the Sermon on the Mount to the high demand for forgiveness to the overturning of the normal way people in authority behave. That's what was so powerful, having Forrest come and preach to us this morning at our service, talking about the prophet Joel and reminding us what God is like and what he's not like. Jesus never leaves his people simply with a list of commands to keep. The three instructions he has given us are held in place by the promises at the beginning and the end of the passage. First promise, all authority has been given to me. And the promise at the end, I will be with you always. I need to check the time. I may not have time for this. Oh, I think, am I okay? Am I all right for us? 4 minutes. All right, I'll make it quick. We have some incredible apologists in the world today. Dr. Bach, what he's doing at DTS is just absolutely fantastic. You know, all of that stuff. I am not an apologist. I can figure it out. That's not my style. I point them to there. I catch, then I release, to the right authority. In our church in London, where I served for 10 years, all of a sudden, a shop directly across from the church opened up, and they painted it electric pink. And then it became very apparent that it was a tattoo parlor. And everyone was in shock that a tattoo parlor was opening up across from the church. And I walked to church, because we live very close by, 5-minute walk there and back. And over a period of 3 months, it took me 3 months, you probably would have done this much sooner, as I walked by, I had this distinct idea that I was to go in and tell the owner of the tattoo parlor that God loved him. And I thought, oh, that can't be God. That must just be me. Right? So I walked by. Boom, boom. And then finally, I took my courage in hand, and I walked in, and I'm in London. I'm in Southwest London, and this man is a bear. He went by, I kid you not, the name Yogi. He's from California. And I said, what are you doing here from California? Anyway, he says, well, what can I do? Here's my catalog. I says, oh, I hate needles. I'll never get a tattoo. He says, well, why are you here? And I'm trying to figure out how to say this. It felt so odd. I said, well, I came here. I work across the road to the church. And I'm here to tell you that we're praying you can find real fulfillment. And then that idea went through my head again. Tell him I love him. I said, actually, I've come in to tell you that Jesus loves you. He says, oh, great. Should I show you my Jesus? And he shows me this tattoo of Jesus that is definitely not in line with the scriptures. And demon Jesus, which I thought, yeah, I think we know different people. And that was it, and I left. And we became friends. And anyway, he disappeared for a month. Shop was opened, and then all of a sudden, our pastor had been away on a mission trip for a prolonged period, and Yogi shows up at church, and his eyes look different. And I said to him, Yogi, why are you here? I said, immigration detained me for 2 weeks. And the chaplain came to my cell every day, and finally I said, if I get saved, will you leave me alone? And the chaplain says, yes, and led me through the prayer. And then all of a sudden, this man, Yogi, was coming to everything. He was even coming to the women's Bible study. And I said, why are you here? He says, well, I've figured out that if you want to learn to pray, you join the women's Bible study. I said, well, but you're not a woman. And I said, well, why are you coming to our church? He said, well, I've been everywhere, and this is the only church that I found that prays for tattoo artists. I said, well, and then, anyway, so the mistake he made is that he sat in the pastor's wife's seat. But she was away, so it didn't matter until she returned. And she comes up to him and says, oh, hello, are you new here at the church? He says, no, but you are. He says, oh, no, I planted this church 30 years ago with my husband. He says, lady, you don't have to lie. I've been coming to everything. I've even been to a few women's Bible studies, and I've never seen you before. She was so insulted. She said, who brought you here? He says, oh, you see that guy up there, Dave? Yeah, he's my friend. Sometimes we can make it feel so complicated what it means to have authority. And there's reason for it, because there's a way to teach, and there's a way to disciple, and there's a way to baptize, and I'm not diminishing that. But what you have that no one else has is you have your unique experience with Jesus. And what you have is that you can, as you go about your day, you will meet people who need to know the love of Jesus. And what I want to encourage you is that if someone like me can end up leading people to faith whose circumstances are radically different, I believe you can do it better. And so my prayer and encouragement to you this morning as we've looked at this passage is that yes, all authority in heaven has been given to Jesus and he's asked us to go. And in our going, what he's asked us to do is to remember that he's with us. So my prayer for you as I finish, and I've gone over time and I apologize, is that you would know this week is that the Lord is with you. Whether you're sitting in a waiting room, in a doctor's office, or you're getting the groceries, we are around people all the time who need to know his love. And all we have to do is say, can I introduce you? Would you like to meet a God who is pure love? And if not, you know, it goes from there. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you are on your throne and that you are working out your purposes in and through your church. Thank you for the ministry and the legacy of this congregation, for the faithful gospel witness on this corner of East Dallas for decades. Thank you for Pastor Forrest and for this congregation. And thank you, Lord, for the way that they have been so good to us at St. Bart's. Would you lead us in the knowledge of your love this week, that we would be reminded that whatever we face, that you are with us to the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen. They're all yours.
Thank you, sir. This part of the service, now we move into a time of the Lord's, we call it the Lord's Supper. And if you didn't receive one of these on your way in, if you just raise your hand, we have some gentlemen in the back that will be happy to get those for you. One of the things that that Dave has communicated very well, my English isn't good. I haven't been saying anything for the last 20 minutes, so. One of the things that Dave said very well was just the power of the Lord to change people. And his friend, the tattoo artist, I mean, if you and I would have seen him, we probably wouldn't have talked to him. We'd have been so afraid of him. But yet that man was able to change completely into someone else. And it was because of what Christ did on the cross for him and for us. And I know we like to think back of ourselves and say, yeah, it wasn't quite that bad. But you know, really, if we had a picture of ourselves before the Lord changed us, we probably weren't all that pretty. There was probably a lot that was messed up in our lives. It's good for us sometimes to remember from where we came to where we are now. And so this morning, as we have this time of the Lord's Supper, I just want to invite you to think back to that. Where were you before you believed? And it's only because of what Christ did on the cross, where he allowed his body to be beaten and bruised and crucified. It's only because of that that you even have a chance for the Lord to come into your life and to change you. And so what we do here as the Lord's table is to celebrate that, to remember that time. So if you take off the top part and reveal the wafer. And Paul quoted a conversation that he had with Jesus. He said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had broke it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in that moment, as he spoke to his disciples, the time period that Paul was talking about, referencing back, the disciples had no idea what was about to happen. I thought they were just having another supper. Jesus told them to do this in remembrance of me is in the future, not only you, but people 2,400 years later want them to remember what I did for them on the cross. I want them to remember the reality that where they came from and where they are now is only possible by the blood that I've spilt. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Would you stand and sing once more before we leave today? Would you be free from your burden, oh, sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, oh, evil, oh, victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing, there's power. There is power.
Would you join me? Well, like always, you just try to remember, after the service, if you need someone to pray with you or you need someone to talk to, there'll be people available to do it. We'd love to have that. Dave and myself, or there's some other people who'd love to talk to you. We're going to do the benediction. And can you do that?
Yeah.
I'm going to put it up on the screen here in a second. So this is how I do it. You can do it any way you want. But then I just raise my hands like this, and I say that. And then at the end, I say, see you next week.
All right.
But you can do it any way you want.
Okay. Now, glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.
Good job.